Good evening. Good to see everyone out this evening. Well, tonight, I want to talk a little bit on something that we kind of rehearse, things that we have talked about in the past, things that we need to look back and remember why. And I wrote down, God calls for what? For a reason. There's a reason. And there's several that we're going to come up with tonight. But really, why were we called is basically what you want to look at tonight. And as we sojourn upon this land, as we are upon this earth, as our pilgrimage continues on, we need to remember back why we were called and for what reason were we called and what it does for us. So tonight I want to kind of look into those things, things that we, like I said, we've been over probably hundreds of times, but once in a while we need to refresh our memory of those things that are good for us, that we were called for a reason. We were called out of darkness. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So I'd like to, we're going to go through a few verses here and kind of go over them, as long as my contacts are kind of acting up on me tonight. So I may say, hey, can one of you guys read this for me? Because I can't see it now. So, and I didn't bring no glasses to put on. So, well, hopefully it won't come to that point, but you never know. When you start getting older, I guess the eyes start to go too and everything. So I'm beginning to find there's quite a few things start to go when you get older. So, and that's a sad, and it's, and it makes me mad because I can't do what I used to be able to do. So, and some of you guys probably understand what I'm saying. It frustrates you. So, anyway, before I get off, like I did in the classroom this morning, Dana knows I took an S-curve around what I was talking about. So, before I get off on another tangent, we'll continue on here. But I want to look at, to start off tonight, I want to look in at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and Paul telling the people at Thessalonica there, the children there, the Christians there, the reason they were called for a reason. And there in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, look there, and we'll read that there, verses 1, really 1 through 12. We'll kind of comment as we go through. It says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk, and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. So there's a point there I always like that for. You've got to a point here, but you can still go further. You're not done yet. You can still excel. You can get further in your spiritual walk. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles do, who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. If you go back up there to verse 4, it says that he's talking about, said what's that you were called, or that your vessel, and it's for sanctification and honor. Your vessel, your body, it's for sanctification. You're to be set apart. You're to honor God with your body. And because he has set you apart, you're a part of the elect people. You're a part of his own possession. He's wanting you set apart and not go after those lustful things that the Gentiles or those outside the body of Christ do. The immoral people around about you. He says, you set yourself apart from that. And then as we go on down into the rest of it, says in verse 12, it says, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he called us for what? For sanctification. Sanctify, in other words, set yourself apart from these impurities. In other words, you're shielded from that. Keep yourself from that. Keep yourself pure. And as he goes on down, he says in verse 8, he says, so he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. So he's saying, I called you for sanctification, not for impurities, But anyone that rejects this saying or rejects what I'm saying here is not rejecting me, not rejecting man, or not rejecting me, but rejecting God. That's who has called us for sanctification, who's called us to be set apart from things in the world. Then as he goes on into verse 9, he says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God in love to one another, or to love one another. Then verse 10 says, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And that's another point. He says, you've done good, but continue to work hard, get farther, go a little bit further. But if you see that first thing that I wanted to bring about is that called in sanctification, called for sanctification. In other words, set apart. So that's one. That's what I wanted to get our jumping off with this lesson, with this that verse there, at verse 7, where he calls us for sanctification. And then I want to go to some other ones that we can look at as why we were called and what happens when you are called. So we need to remember that we are a separate people. We are an elect people. We are a people for God's own possession. He's set us up for that. If you go back now to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28 through 30, it talks about a little bit why we were called and what happens to those who are called. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. We always use, and Gene brought this up a few months ago in one of his lessons, about people taking verses out of context and saying, this is for me. He used a couple, and one in, I think, Jeremiah, and another one in the Old Testament. I can't remember exactly where at. But here's another verse. Everybody says, on this verse here, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who are obedient, or those who love God. So if you think about that, they say, everybody says that, and you hear people say it all the time. But what good? What good has it happened for them? When some may die, some good Christians may pass away for suddenly because of maybe illness, maybe a heart attack that comes right off the bat, or an accident, something like that. So how is that good for them? Well, they take this out of context. And if you go on down and read this next two verses, it explains what he's talking about here. He says, for though, in verse 12 or 29, he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become, to conform to the image of his son. And when he talks about predestined, did he choose you out? He predestined those who would believe, to believers, not certain individuals. These are the only ones that are going to be saved. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those who would be obedient unto him. That's who he's going to predestine to become in the image of his son. And those that are going to become, this is what's going to be good for those. This next verse is what's talking about who's going to be good. In verse 30 says, these whom he predestined, he also called. How did he call? He called them with the gospel, with Paul's gospel, with Peter's gospel, with what was sent out from the day of Pentecost. And then he goes on and says, and that he said, he called, he said, he also justified. And those who he justified, he glorified. So we talk about, why are we called? To be justified. In other words, what is justification? It's an acquittal, right? That what we are to be, should be punished for, we're not punished. It's taken away. And then glorified. How are we going to be glorified? In the end, we're going to be glorified. We're, as Christians now, we're glorifying God throughout our life. We are just, people already see God through us. That's how we're glorifying God. But we're going to be glorified in the end. Just like what Trace talked about this morning. There's going to be a payment at the end. Glorified. We are justified now. And we continue on. That's the good it's going to be for those who love the Lord. They're going to be justified. They're going to be glorified. That's the good it's going to come about. Not things in this world that we think about. Because not everything's going to be happening good for Christians. They become sick. Things happen to them. Things of that nature. So that's one thing that we are called for, God calls us for, to be justified, to be glorified. But let's look at another one. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And we'll go down through these verses that we're going to, like I said, we'll kind of comment on them and then continue on. And look what God has done for us. Why he has called us. Begin in verse 4. It says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, also who also confirmed you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Here Paul, and we know, he first starts out talking about these divisions that were among them, and he knew about those. But what I want the verse I want to look at was there in verse 9. It says, God is faithful, whom you were called into fellowship or into liberty, into freedom. He's talking about there's a fellowship. You're going to be called. Those that are called have a fellowship with God, with Christ. Now, why do you have a fellowship with Christ? Because they are fellow heirs with him. All Christians are fellow heirs with Christ. All Christians are fellow heirs with each other. And then we also can go on down further. Husband and wife, they're Christians. They're fellow heirs. The man is to treat the wife, but she is a weaker vessel, but you are fellow heirs. You're equal in God's sight when it comes to eternal life and to obedience. So we have a fellowship. We're called for a fellowship. Those outside don't have that comfort, that peace, that fellowship we have with him. As we study his word, as we look into his word, as we make it deeper into our hearts, as it ingrains in our body, in our mind, that we can look to it each and every day. As we have blinders, you could say, on each side, as Trace talked about, on each side, you're looking at a straight road, down straight narrow road. But also, as he talked about in the Old Testament, the Jews were to have frontlets so they could see God's word. And we, in our mind, should have that where we can see that. When we come into any different types of situations, those things should come forward in our minds and how to handle those situations. But what he talks about here is that fellowship we have. We have that fellowship with Christ, those that are called. Then another one I want to look at is in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 10. Talks about those that are called. Beginning in verse 10. It says, I have confidence in you. And what we're talking about here is they had some that were telling them, hey, you need to be obedient to the law. And there's other things you need to be. You need to be circumcised. And the Galatians were going back to that. And he was telling, no. You're trying to follow another gospel. And that's not what we're teaching here. Verse 10 says, I have confidence in you, the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves, For you were called to freedom, brethren. Not only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. There, my eyes are kind of blinging. I can't see until I have to get, sorry. But he's talking about this freedom that we have, this liberty we have. He said, you were called for this liberty. He says that this stumbling block taken away from me. He said, for you were called in freedom, brethren. He said, don't forget that. It takes you away from the law. And if you look in the 7th chapter of Romans, in the beginning, he's talking about that. You can't be under two laws. You have to take away one. Where he talked about the woman that she is still under bondage as long as she lives or is married to her husband. And once her husband dies, she's no longer under that commitment. She can go and marry another. But if she does that while they're still married, then she's considered an adulteress. So what he's talking about here is there's two laws, but now there's one law. You're no longer under the old law, but now you're under the law of Christ. You're under that law of freedom, that law of liberty that has separated you from all those things under the old law that you were, that the Israelites were to follow and had trouble following those, could not completely take those or follow those commandments. So, but we are in a liberty. We are in freedom now. And that's what we're called for. Once again, freedom, liberty, and taken out of the world. Okay, then we go on down to the next verse I want to look at is in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verses 1 through 6. And if you notice, you see that I'm looking at the word called. And you can go to Concordance, Strong's Concordance, and you can find called takes about a page and a half, maybe two pages. But so there's a lot about being called that we can look at and understand that we are in a good situation, that we are an elect people separated from the world. But in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6, Paul here talking to the brethren at Ephesus and talking about the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. But here in these six verses, he talks about that being called. Verse 1 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So once again, we see there's reasons for being called. He talks about there in that verse, he said, he wants you to be walk worthily in that manner in which you were called. Walk worthily of that calling. Don't degrade that calling by going after impurities, by going after things of the world. But keep yourself pure. Walk where you're proud that you're a Christian and that God is proud. Say, there's one of my people. Like he talked about Job. He said, there's my servant Job. Have you considered him? He could do the same with us. Have you considered whoever? He says, walk worthy. He said, and how to do that? He tells you there in that verse 2 how to do it. He said, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing. And this one here is a hard one for everyone. You have to work on it. It says showing with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Showing tolerance. It's hard to be tolerant for a lot of things. You know? But you want to be tolerant for your brother and sister. They may be less knowledgeable than you, may be less spiritual, but you help them through. You tolerate what they do. In other words, if they're weak, you help them. If they're spiritually weak, you help them. In any situation that can, you do that, but you do it in a right way. You do it with patience, with love. Not counting them as an enemy, but counting them as a brother. Then going on, he says he wants you to be, one of them to be diligent, to work hard at preserving unity of the Spirit. In other words, preserving unity within the church. Work hard at that. Be diligent at that. And that's one that you're going to be called. That's what you're, one that is called is going to do that. And he says there's a reason. He said there's one body, one Spirit. He said also just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So what's this called? You're called for hope. There's hope there. And also there's not only liberty and freedom, as we talked about in Galatians, but we also have the example of Christ. We talk about, he talks about to walk worthy in that manner. What walk are we doing? We have to go and look at the example that Christ has left us. He's left us a perfect example to follow with humility, with patience. Did he show tolerance for those that were around about him? He showed a lot of tolerance. But did he do it with love? Yeah. Even on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even those that put him to death, he forgave them. That's how he tolerated. So that's the example he's left for us. That's the example we need to follow. And if you remember back, Stephen, did he follow that example? Yeah, Stephen followed that example even to the point of death. And remember Paul? Did he follow that example? Yeah, he was beaten, thought to be dead, stoned, thought to be dead, beaten. Said he was shipwrecked, but he continued on. Because he had one goal in mind, and that was that ultimate goal to reach. He said, there's a prize laid up for me at the end. So let's go on to another verse. Let's go back to Thessalonians, the second chapter. So as you see tonight, we're getting things that we are being called for. And that's what we need to remember. We've been called and we've been put in a position that we can call others also. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 12, let me get over to 1 Thessalonians here. There. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to anyone, any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a worthy manner, or manner worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory. So as you look at that, he talks about way they performed giving the gospel to them. They done it from the heart. They done it and tried not to put any kind of burden on them. But then verse we want to get to is verse 12 there. He says, so that you would walk in a manner worthy. He said, I've done all this so that you would walk in a worthy manner. Said, of God who called you into his own kingdom. Into his own kingdom. What was that kingdom? His church. He called us into that church and the glory of that church. And that kingdom continues on today. And that glory, it continues on today. And that's the reason we can learn from these letters that Paul has written to these churches. We can learn these things. That we're in the church and it is God's kingdom. And we're surrounded with him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we are glorifying them as we are, and even tonight, as we sing praises and we study his word, we're glorifying him in his kingdom. So we need to think there's several things that we can do that we are being called for. Then I want to look at some other things that goes along with being called. And the first one I want to look at is in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 12 through 16, is something that those that are called are. 1 Peter, first chapter, beginning in verse 12. It was revealed to them that were not serving themselves but you. And he's talking about the prophets before, if you go back up and read in 10 and 11. In those things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which you were in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy even as I am holy. So what is the ones, the people that are called, the Christians that are called, they're to be what? Just like Him. Holy just as Him. And when you think of holy, just as God is holy, He said, be holy even as I am holy. In other words, there's no evil in God. There's no wrong in God. We need to strive to be that way. We need to strive to be pure, strive to purge the evil from our hearts, in our minds, in our everyday walks. So we need to be like Him. Those that are called, be like Him, holy as He is. Also, if you go over to the next chapter, in chapter 2, in verse 9, something that has been for Christians, says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Called us out. What is the church? The called out. Called out of what? Darkness. Think of, and if you can think of it as an example, look back to the children of Israel. They were called out of Egypt, out of bondage. They were no longer under bondage once they came out of Egypt, once they crossed that Red Sea, and once they came into the Promised Land. They were no longer, He called them out of Egypt, just as He calls us out of the world of darkness. And as we cross the Red Sea, as we cross into the Jordan, cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, we have came out of darkness into His glorious light. And that glorious light is His church. We are in that light. And He is that light for us. And He guides us through things that we come in contact with each and every day. He's that light. He's that marvelous light. And then if we think about God's children, we look also in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. He talks about that being set apart into His marvelous light. Let's go over and read that. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And Paul speaking to the Romans here, the Christians there at Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, so that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And Trace brought this verse out this morning. To be transformed. Don't be conformed. When you think of being conformed, you're going to be just like something, right? When you're conformed to something, you're going to be just like it. But He said, don't be conformed to the world. In other words, don't be like the world, but be transformed out of it into His marvelous light. Be transformed into that. That way, you will have that spiritual service. You will have that, able to do that living sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice. If you're not conformed to the world, but you have been transformed into His marvelous light, you're going to present that perfect sacrifice, that body, this living body, as a spiritual sacrifice. You're going to do that. As we talked about this evening, there's things that we've been called, justified, freedom, glorified, sanctified, hope, our example to Christ, of Christ, following that example. But I want to leave you off to see me with two verses, or not two verses, about three verses, in Galatians, the fifth chapter. It talks about those who are called, how they're going to walk. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Beginning about verse 22, if I can see it, it's not getting any better. Beginning in verse 22. Well, we need to go up a little bit further than that. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Somebody read that for me. I can't even see it now. Can someone read that for me? The 22nd through the 25th verse.
Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. We live by the Spirit.
Okay. He tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. Joy, peace, perseverance. But he said one thing that catches and should catch us all is that one part where there is no such law against. There's no law against it. And I think Gene brought this out a few weeks ago when he did the fifth chapter of Galatians. There's no law against those good works. You can do all those good works as long as you want. And God requires us to do those good works because we are His called out. We are His people. And we have faith, but we also have works. We talked about that before in James, where James talks about that, about our faith and our works. But tonight, hopefully you've seen what I wanted to bring out, these points about how special we are and how special we would want others to be and how this should be in our heart to send it forth, spread it forth, send it on down the line to other people that they may enjoy that peace. They may enjoy that love that we have with God and His Son. And love that we have for one another. To help one another grow stronger and firmer in the faith. So tonight, hopefully you can gain a little bit from that. And think about, God called us out of darkness to His marvelous light. We have a light. We can see. We have a lamp. David talks about a lamp unto his feet. That's His, God's Word. It leads him. And it should lead us. So, if you're not a Christian tonight, you're in that darkness. And you know how darkness, if you've been out on a dark night when there's no moon, no stars, or even a cloudy night, and there's no, if you're out in a field, or to me, it's when we used to go hunting, coon hunting, the light would go out, then it, and there was no stars or nothing, it's dark. You can't see out in front of you. That's where the non-Christian is. The one, the alien sinner, is out in that, trying to find that light. But you can find that light. It's in front of you all the time. Your family, your friends that are Christians, there's that light showing forth. If you're as a Christian have slid back into the world and are trying to conform to the lust and things that you've done in the past, but you're saying, well, I need to get out of that. It's weighing heavy on my mind. There's a chance that you could do that. And tonight's tonight, you could do that. So if you're subject to invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?